Can you believe it? We are on topic 23, Messages from Beyond the Stars. This message is on the gift of prophecy and identifying the gift of prophecy in God's remnant church. Now, there are those evangelical Christians who believe that if you go by the Bible and the Bible only, you will leave out the gift of prophecy, because they believe that the gift of prophecy, and particularly their understanding, is that Ellen White is an extra biblical source. In this sermon, you will identify Ellen White as the true gift of prophecy. Some of you may be a little nervous about that, and you may say that may be difficult for some minds to understand. I have found that people pay attention on this topic, and it's one of the most gripping topics of the entire series. I'm reminded of something that James White said. James White, Ellen's husband, was being criticized one day by an evangelical minister. And this minister looked up at James White and he said, "I thought you Adventists believed in the Bible and the Bible only. If you do, how can you possibly accept the visions and dreams of your wife, Ellen White, that are not in the Bible?" James White looked up at him and said, "Sir, we do believe in the Bible and the Bible only. And unlike you, we even believe in the part of the Bible that talks about the gift of prophecy in the last days." The man's mouth was stopped, because James White then went on to say, if we did not believe in the modern gift of prophecy, we certainly would not believe in the Bible and the Bible only. Since the Bible talks about prophecy, we accept it. That's the reason we include this series in this message in this series. Because the Bible is so clear that the gift of prophecy will be raised up in the last days, you don't need to apologize about it when you preach this sermon. Preach it powerfully, and thinking minds who accept the Bible will accept it. We begin by pointing out that God still speaks through his prophets. And we point out that in different parts of the world, scientists are using powerful radio telescopes to listen to sounds from outer space, but God has revealed himself. We quote Isaiah 59, verse 2 on the top of page 3 that points out that sin separates us from God, but that in a world that we are separated from God, God still speaks. He's not silent. How does God speak? Page 4 and Amos 3, verse 7, first key text that leads you into the whole presentation today. Amos points out how God speaks. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. How does God speak today? Starting out, first word in the text, surely. What's the first word? Is it maybe, perhaps, I think so, I guess so? I love the word surely, don't you? It means certainly. It means definitely. It means without a doubt. Surely, the Lord God does what? Nothing, unless he reveals his secrets to his servant, the prophets. So the Lord God won't do anything. So God reveals himself through his prophets. That's the way God reveals himself. So the gift of prophecy is an important part of God's last day plan to reveal his messages to his church. Numbers 12, verse 6, page 5. Numbers 12, verse 6, it says, if there's a prophet among you, I'm going to make myself known to him in a vision or dream. Now, did the gift of prophecy actually end at the end of biblical times? There are those people that say, sure, God revealed himself by the gift of prophecy in the Old Testament. God revealed himself by the gift of prophecy in the New Testament. But the gift of prophecy ended, they say, at the end of biblical times. Page 6 in your notes. Page 6. This is a very key passage that you have to make plain, because if you don't make this passage plain, people are going to be thinking that the gift of prophecy ended at the end of biblical times. They'll say, sure, there is the gift of prophecy, but it ended. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. When was the gift of prophecy to end? Is the gift of prophecy still in the church today? Ephesians 4, verse 11. It says, when Jesus ascended up on high, he himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, it is good to pause here. You'll want to make this in a note after verse 11, because we've hurried by this a little bit in your text, and I feel you need to pause a little bit and ask this question. And you say, is it necessary still today to have pastors in the church? At the end of the New Testament time, we have no more pastors, right? Well, we need pastors, don't we? What about teachers? Now we need no more Bible teachers, because the Bible period has ended and everybody can learn from themselves from Scripture, right? Not at all. So when Jesus ascended on high, he gave some gifts. He gave pastors, he gave teachers, he gave evangelists. Do we need evangelists in the church today? I hope we do. Then it says he gave prophets. And here's what I'd like to suggest to you. If you do away with the gift of prophecy, it is only logical to do away with all pastors, all evangelists, all church administrators, and all teachers. Well, we're not willing to do away with those. Well, how long will these remain in the church? Well, verse 13 tells you. Verse 12 tells you the purpose for the equipping or the building up of the believers, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So to build up the church, God has given these gifts till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. These gifts will remain in the church until we come to complete unity of faith and the perfection of the body of Christ. When's that? At the second coming of Christ. So this shows from this text alone that the gift of prophecy will remain in the church to the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's put spiritual gifts in his church. These gifts are to come down through the centuries. Does that mean that God would restore his gift of prophecy to his latter-day Sabbath-keeping church? Here is a powerful text. Now, if you don't know this text, it's page 8. Underline it, circle it. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 9. When does God remove the gift of prophecy, and when does God restore the gift of prophecy? When does God restore the gift of prophecy? When does he take it away? Why is it that down through the ages, after biblical times, after the New Testament, why is it that during the 1260 years, we did not find a manifestation of the gift of prophecy very much in the church? Lamentations 2, verse 9, last part. It says, the law is no more, and her prophets find no vision from the Lord. So God removes prophetic visions at a time of apostasy when the church drifts away from its law. So if you would have a Sabbath-keeping church that would arise at end time, you would expect God to restore the gift of prophecy to take his church through the final crisis. Indeed, do we find that taking place? Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, page 10, says that God would restore visions and dreams in the last days. Page 11, Revelation 19, verse 10, says that God would restore the gift of prophecy in the last days. And the question then is, how do you identify this gift of prophecy in the last days? In what way do you identify that gift? Why do you think there would be a manifestation of the false gift of prophecy if there is no true? The reason there are so many false prophets around today is because God was going to raise up the true one. Now, on page 12, on the top of the page, it says, page 12. The Bible has some stringent qualifications and distinct characteristics that pointedly mark the true prophet. I would like you to add a sentence here. I'd like you to add something here that will help the audience understand what we're going to go over. And here's what you add. You say this. You use a little illustration, and it's the illustration I used earlier. Have you ever seen a counterfeit $13 bill? Have you ever seen a counterfeit $21 bill? And you say this, right before you go into these tests of a true prophet, the reason the devil has raised up the false gift of prophecy is because he knew there would be a true prophet. And there are two great dangers. And here's what I want you to emphasize right at this point. There are two great dangers. Danger number one is that you accept a false manifestation of the gift of prophecy. Danger number two is that you are so afraid of accepting a false manifestation of the gift of prophecy that you reject the true manifestation of the gift of prophecy. Do you see those opposite sides of the coin? Now, it's very important, Bible teacher, pastor, to emphasize that one little point, because that's going to really help people. What you're doing is you're helping their mind to be open to accept the true. And you're saying there are two dangers. One is to accept the false. I don't want to accept the false gift of prophecy, do you? I don't want to be deceived by the false gift, do you? But neither do I want to reject the true gift. If God has the true gift of prophecy for me, I want to receive it, don't you? Well, how can we know what the characteristics of the true gift of prophecy are? Then we go over the six characteristics of the true gift of prophecy. We go through our notes and we point out that actually, the five characteristics we've listed here. We point out that the true gift of prophecy is in harmony with God's word and his law. We point out that the true gift of prophecy, predictions come to pass. We point out that the true gift of prophecy, the prophecies don't entertain, but they edify the church. We go over this on pages 12 and onward. The true gift of prophecy exalts Jesus. The true gift of prophecy is known by its works. Then we come through and identify Ellen White as a manifestation of the true, genuine gift of prophecy. We describe how God would raise up a Sabbath-keeping church to prepare the world for the coming of Jesus, and that based on the Bible, based on the teachings of Scripture, page 14 and 15, based on the teachings of Scripture, that you'd have to have the true gift of prophecy manifest. If you don't, you got to keep looking for the true church. And we show how Ellen White manifests the genuine gift of prophecy and how she was a fulfillment of Scripture, part and parcel of Scripture, and how she meets every test. Now, there are a couple historical statements here that I think are quite significant. Page 816, the statement by Dr. Clive McKay, the late professor of nutrition at Cornell University, who says, "The writings of Ellen White have been cited because they provide a guide to nutrition that comprehends the whole body." Clive McKay said, professor of nutrition at Cornell University, "There is no better guide for nutrition than Ellen White." We go through, for example, how on page 17, Ellen White predicted that cancer was a germ. Now that is an amazing prediction. And we show on the middle of page 17, Dr. Wendell Stanley is a virologist, is affirming that. He talks about the fact he would call it a virus, but same thing, a little later translation of the same word or a description of the same word. We talk about the San Francisco earthquake on the bottom of page 17, and the purpose of bringing these things in is to bring credibility to Ellen White. We come to the end of the sermon, and here at the end of the sermon, we quote 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, how you deal with the appeal here is quite significant. I would not suggest that at the end of the sermon, and I emphasize I would not suggest at the end of the sermon, you say, "How many of you believe in the gift of prophecy in Ellen White?" I would not do that, because it's not fair for your audience, many of those who've never heard about Ellen White before, to make that decision. What I would do is I'd come to the end of the sermon and say this, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. The scripture says, "Believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe his prophets and you will prosper." God says, in effect, the taste of the pudding is in the what, everybody? Eating. You will never know whether the pie tastes good unless you eat it. Now, I have two questions for you tonight. Question number one, is it clear to you from the Bible that God will have the gift of prophecy manifest in his last day church? We've read those Bible texts. Is it clear to you that the gift of prophecy will be manifest in the last day church at end time? Is that clear? If it is, raise your hand. Okay? Is it clear to you? Is it clear to you that the gift of prophecy will be in God's last day church? Secondly, how many of you, if the gift of prophecy is manifest in God's last day church, want to say, "Lord, if you reveal to me from whatever source the gift of prophecy based on the Bible, I want to follow it"? If you want to follow it, would you raise your hand? Now, lastly, would you be willing to say, "Lord, I want to investigate for myself and see indeed, as I read and study, I want to taste the pie, and I'm willing to investigate to see whether or not Ellen White does have the gift of prophecy. And if she does, as I read and study and pray about that, I certainly want to accept that"? Would you have that kind of honest heart? Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, notice I didn't ask them to raise their hand on that. If you have that honest heart, let's pray. And I pray like this. Dear Lord, thank you that you manifest the gift of prophecy in the church today. Thank you that that gift is such a blessing to your people. Now, Lord, give us open hearts and open minds to explore and to investigate this gift. In Jesus' name, amen. After that prayer, I say to my audience, I look forward to seeing you for the next meeting, and they're on their way out. The gift of prophecy will stimulate their thought, as you send them home. Now, often that night I'll give them steps to Christ if I haven't given it to them. Normally, I give them steps to Christ much earlier in the series. So by this time, I'm giving them something like Christ Object Lessons, Desire of Ages, or some other book on the life and teachings of Christ. As you present the gift of prophecy, God is going to anoint your lips and watch what God does.